Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 262 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. Sean Penrod here, your host. So excited joining us today for another fantastic interview geared toward bridging the gap between where you are and where those who play on the Pro Tour are. The point of the show is to help you achieve your dream of playing on the Pro Tour, and by interviewing Grand Prix Top 8 players and Pro Tour Top 16 players, we really get to see their journey, their history, their story, and relate to what they went through. My hope is that you say, hey, they used to struggle with that, and they're on the Pro Tour. I'm struggling with the same thing now. I can do it too. I can overcome those challenges, and I can do it too. So here we are with another great episode. But before we dive in, I want to say thank you so much to Paragon City Games for supporting the show, and encourage you to go to ParagonCityGames.com to check out what they have going on there. And a huge thank you to the patrons, without whom this show would not be possible. So I've been mentioning it for a couple weeks now that there's going to be a change coming to how the Patreon system is set up. Basically, I'm revamping the reward tiers and the goals. I'm taking a serious look at the show and what it takes to run the show. And we're going to be readjusting the goals so you know exactly what impact you're having on the show when you support it. Just to kind of give you an idea of where things are heading, the first goal will be to have one episode a week. Honestly, that's kind of the support level that we're at right now. I currently put out two episodes a week, but in looking at everything that it takes to run the show, what with the audio editing and the show notes and just some of the other tools for the website that is required, it turns out that there is not an exorbitant, but not an insignificant amount of resources needed to keep the show going. And so far, the patrons have been doing an awesome job at covering most of that. But because I have, you know, a family to support and other projects that need my attention, if the show can't support itself for 8 episodes a month, then I'm going to have to drop it down to 4 episodes a month. It'll still be the same great guests. It's just they'll come out a little less frequently. And then as support for the show grows, I'll be more than happy and obviously able to bring it back up to 8 episodes a month. So that'll be the first goal. The first level will be to have one episode a week. The next goal level will allow us to give back to contributors to the show who have thus far been completely uncompensated. If you're not aware, I have 3 amazing admins for the MTG Pro Tutor Facebook group, and I would love to compensate them even just a little bit for their time and efforts in keeping that running, for the discussions that they have, for the events that they put on in their areas, and the next goal will allow us to do that. As well as the MTG Pro Tutor newsletter, which we put out every week, is a dual effort between me and the MTG Pro Tutor writer, Jeff, who does an amazing job each and every week of getting together a what's hot list or some tips and tricks that he's learned, and he adds that to whatever little tidbit I have to share. And he's just been doing a great job in coming up with some really valuable Magic the Gathering content, and I wanted to recognize him for that as well. So that will be the next goal. And you'll see the details on Patreon. And then the third goal after that will be bringing the show back to 8 episodes a month. So like I said, go to mtgprotutor.com/Patreon to check that out. If the change hasn't happened already, then it will be definitely happening soon. So check that out. And if you're not already a patron, that's where you can go to get more details. mtgprotutor.com/Patreon. So anyways, I did just want to say thank you to Paragon City Games. And thank you so much to the patrons for your support so far, keeping the show going. It really, really does help. It means a lot. We have a great episode lined up today. And I can't wait to bring him in, sit down, and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I'm super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest has been playing Magic since he was 4 and started hitting the competitive scene full throttle in Shards Block. He has several second place PPTQ finishes and took 2nd at Montana State Championship. He made his first day 2 and first top 8, finishing 2nd at Grand Prix Portland 2017. He's looking to make Magic a career. Coming to us from Spokane, Washington, USA, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Brandon Go. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Sean. How are you?
Doing fantastic, thank you, other than stumbling on your state, which is highly embarrassing. But other than that, doing great, doing great. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take the game to the next level?
I'm ready to revel in riches, tell you that much.
Ah, I like it. I like it. So, prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Brandon, you can find him on Twitter. He's at NightFury301. And you can say thanks for being on the show, ask him a question. That is his, where he maintains his social profile. So, Brandon, we would love to learn a little bit about you outside of Magic. We mentioned in the bio here that you want to make Magic a career. So is Magic what you're doing full time? Are you a student? Are you working? What do you have going on right now?
I am just playing Magic pretty much full time right now. Sweet. I don't have a job or anything like that. I've kind of been all in since I was in high school.
Okay.
or even before high school, I just kind of like, ever since I was a kid, all I've dreamed about was just playing competitive card games for a living, and that's all I want to do.
Competitive card games. So here you are in the Magic scene. Were there other card games that you ventured into?
Oh, yes, yes. I traveled and played a lot of competitive Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay.
A little bit of competitive Pokemon, but not much.
Okay.
Force of Will, Game of Thrones, that's an LCG.
Yes.
And then some more of the new L5R recently. And then a lot of Hearthstone, Shadowverse, Gwent, just
man,
card,
yeah.
It's a card game, I'm trying to play it.
Yeah.
Try it out.
That's excellent. That's excellent. I have some really good friends back in California who were really big in the Game of Thrones LCG, and like they were constantly going to like big tournaments and stuff like that. So man, that's pretty cool. Yeah, and when I was younger, my brother and I, this was before like games were really competitive, we did this something similar where we just tried every card game. Like we played Babylon 5 card game and like Battletech card game, and we tried Dune. We tried the Star Wars ones that were back then, and you know, obviously we also played Magic, but we tried a little bit of everything. I stumbled across a Wheel of Time card game back in the day, and so that was fun. And yeah, so that's really neat that you're like, hey, if it's a card game, I'm gonna give it a shot. I know that my younger brother, so that was with my younger brother, he introduced me to Gwent, so I've played that just a little bit, a very little bit, but that's pretty cool that you mentioned that as well. So fun. So you have this this gaming bug. Did you always have that? Did you play with siblings or parents growing up, or you just kind of develop that with friends? Where did the gaming side come from?
Between that and like martial arts, really, when I was growing up with my grandparents as my daycare, across the street, I had a couple friends, Mike and Nick Monroe, the brothers, and they introduced me into Magic while I started playing Yu-Gi-Oh! At a young age with my best friend, Kelly. It really was just kind of like, we were just kind of playing games one day, and then we went to Toys R Us, and we were just like walking around looking at video games, and then we saw some Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards. We're like, whoa, what's that? What's that about? And we got into it from there, and then cool. My friends Mike and Nick introduced me to Magic, and then I was just like, all right, I'm just playing all the card games, and yeah, that's just, I just been really into them. I like the strategy of all of the card games as a whole.
And do you find, I mean, I'm sure there are, but like the similarities and differences between all these different card games, that could be a whole podcast in and of itself, but what have you found, I guess, for some of the highlights, I guess, if you want to pick a few things out between these different card games you've played?
I really liked a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! I just, it was like kind of like a starter for me, so I guess it's like always gonna have a special place in my heart. I've always just kind of liked, you can do like this, you know, summoning like multiple monsters in a single turn, you know, going crazy, summoning a bunch of things. It's like really fun where you're just like throwing cards all over the place. The way you think about it, like that's you're cool. Like, oh, draw a bunch of cards and then summon a bunch of monsters and then kill your opponent. It's like, that's really fun.
Yeah.
And Magic for me was just like the crazy in-depth strategy of it was a big pull for me when I was like, okay, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh's fun. I'm not liking where the game's going personally. It's still a good game. I have friends that still play it, and I still, you know, I root on for them when they're going to, you know, YCSs or regionals. I'm just, you know, cheering them on, hoping to do well in their game, just like they would do for me. So regardless, if I don't particularly like the game anymore, I still support my friends that decide to play it still, you know, just because.
Cool. We got a little bit of your origin story, but before we dive into that more, I do want to bring up, where did the Night Fury handle come from? Because I see a picture of you holding Toothless, and your name is Night Fury, and so there seems to be an affinity towards How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, so How to Train Your Dragon is actually my favorite movie, favorite animated movie ever created.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot, because like Lion King is majestically beautiful, right?
Right.
And like, it's just the core concept about that movie, just like... I don't know. I love dragons, and How to Train Your Dragon just had like a special place in my heart. It hit home really hard for me, and it's just is an adorable little dragon. And yeah, that's just kind of like the big origin for the Night Fury handle.
Cool.
The Toothless that I wear on top of my head was actually a present for me that my fiance made for me for our 1 year anniversary together. And so I kind of just take it to every tournament I go, big tournament I go to. That way, it's like she's with me, and you know, just like, you know. That's kind of how it is. That's
awesome.
Some of it.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. So she's not able to travel with you to all the big events. And so you take that with you as a reminder. That's love it. That's great. Cool. Thanks for sharing.
She's a college student. So she's, you know, always, you know, working her butt off, just, you know, going through college, you know, being awesome, just doing her thing. And I'm just like, all right, well, I'm going to try to win us some money.
love it. Which you've been having some success at recently, so that's pretty cool. And diving into that a little bit more. So do you remember your first set when your friends across the street got you into Magic? Do you remember what that first set was?
Oh, yes. It was the computer game version that came with the alternate art Rocks. That was like Rocks, the little beast that whenever it becomes blocked, deals damage to your opponent. The little alternate one that you got from the computer game. And from there, it was just kind of like, I started playing with like core set stuff. I think it was like, I think I want to say it's like 6th or 7th, maybe before that.
Wow. So 6th edition was your first set?
Think so?
Wow.
Maybe?
That's awesome.
I think you might be right. Correct. Yeah, I was like a child, like 4 or 5. It was a long time ago.
That's true.
I had a lot of kitchen table stuff. So I played with cards like from Revised Unlimited. I had some beta cards. I had some Arabian Night stuff. So like we had some just like cool random stuff from like older sets, but you know,
just laying around.
Just kind of laying around, and we picked up some packs and buy a box, and we just kind of opened the box together. So we were very kitchen table-y for a long time. But I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? That's where you start.
Yeah. What's been your favorite set?
Ooh, my favorite set in Magic. Well, I honestly really enjoyed a lot of the shards block, honestly. But if I did have to pick one, I probably have to say Lauren block as a whole. Like Lorwyn, Shadowmoor, Morningtide, Eventide. I actually built a cube for it. That's how much I love it. The cards are just so beautiful. The concept of the set was just really fun. And some really degenerate, powerful cards came out, and it was great. Plus, the first time Planeswalkers ever came out.
Yep.
And I did a sealed event, and my seal pool had one of each Walker plus an additional foil Garrick.
What? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's nuts. No,
it was the most insane seal pool like anybody was like saw at that time. It was like, what? I was like, I was, you know, kind of like bad, so I was like, I'm going to play 5-color. I went like 3-1, but it was still fun.
Wow, that's incredible. That's fun. What's one of your favorite cards?
My favorite card ever printed is Tarmogoyf.
Ooh, okay.
It's my main dude. I've always loved that card. It's I'm a big dumb creature guy.
Yeah.
I love playing the green machines, and as of recently, Hazret, you know, she's been my main girl.
That's awesome.
Right now, tied for best card, my favorite cards are Hazret and Tarmogoyf.
So for those who may not know, what is Tarmogoyf? What does it do?
Tarmogoyf is a green and a colorless Lurgoyf creature type. He's a */*+1, and his power and toughness is equal to the number of the different card types amongst both players' graveyards. So he can... The biggest he can possibly be is a 2-mana 8/9. So if you think about it that way, it's pretty appealing. The average, he's a 2-mana 4/5, but still, you're paying 2 mana for a 4/5. So there's no stat. You can't get much better than those kind of stats.
Yeah, that's great. And Hazret?
Hazret, she costs a red and 3 for a legendary creature god. She's a 5/4. Haste, indestructible. She cannot attack unless you have one or fewer cards in your hand. And she has an activated ability for a red and 2. Says discard a card, deal 2 damage to each opponent. And the single handling is the card that took me to my GP top 8. And as soon as the card pretty much got spoiled, I was just like, wow, this card's really good. And then I picked up a copy, was playing with it for a little bit. Then I got more from my friends that helped me build the mono red list. And I just can't stop jamming that card in the red zone. It's just so much fun.
Love it.
It's just so much damage and so much value. I just love it.
Sweet. Very sweet. So we love getting, you know, a bit of your background and some of your favorites and whatnot. And so moving into some of the highlights that you've had in your Magic journey, when you started getting competitive, first of all, kind of what was that like going from kitchen table to competitive? And then specifically, what was an early challenge that you struggled with that you eventually overcame?
So I first got back getting into competitive Magic when I was, I met my friend, Julian at a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament when we used to play at a mall in the food court. And he told me, he was like, hey, we play Magic. I play Magic too. And I have some friends that we play with downtown. So I met up with him, and, that's when I met one of my really good friends, Daryl. And, he pushed me to get more into the competitive scene. And at first it was just like, it was so crazy to see the difference between the people that played Yu-Gi-Oh versus the people that played Magic.
Okay.
So that at first was a little weird just because I was used to kids in my age bracket And then now I'm just hanging out with kids that are all older than me. So I was just the youngest all the time. So like, it was a little weird, you know, it's like, I'm like, okay, well, but I've, you know, I've always gotten along with everybody. I try to get along with everybody. It's kind of like a thing, but, yeah, that was a little weird at first. But, after that, it was just magical. Literally just like playing, going to these tournaments, getting to meet these, like, all the different kinds of people. And, yeah, that was a big one for me. And, I guess my biggest struggle is, learning to take a loss. Every time, when I was younger, every time I lost, I thought I was, you know, I was just, you know, I got that feeling like I'm just terrible, even though I don't think I am. So I just got really upset at myself and they know just, you know, the salt factor. So, you know, take it outside, get salty about it, take it back in, you know?
Yeah. So what would you do? So like, you know, getting used to being the youngest person there, obviously by continually going, sounds like you got more and more comfortable. And then as you know, your community got, you know, used to you being around, and that I'm sure that's kind of how that was overcome. But the losing thing, that's something that we can hone in on for a bit. Like, how did you get over that? Like, what were some of the things that happened, or how did you learn to get better at handling loss? Because that's something that even I still struggle with. You know, I still struggle with. I know that many prodigies do too. So, what was that experience like for you?
So honestly, it took me a long time, like a couple years, a few years actually, to get over how to like take a loss. As you know, when you get that, when you build your deck and you say that you know, you're looking at your Star City or Channel Fireball top eight lists or whatever Grand Prix it is, you know, or top pro tour it is, and you see a deck, you like that deck, you build it, you make some adjustments to fight your local meta, and you feel like you're in the mindset like, yeah, this deck just placed really well. I made adjustments so I can play against my local meta for them, you know, sideboard changes, main deck changes, and you're really confident. You're like, okay, you know, I should just crush this tournament. And then you take a loss. It's like a really low blow, like to like yourself, like almost like your self-esteem. Cause you're just like, man, I worked really hard. I picked up the cards. I put a lot of thought into it, and you know, you just get destroyed. So it's like, it puts like a cloud of frustration over like one's head. So it took me a lot of years to actually kind of get over that, especially when, I started doing more competitive stuff and I thought I was getting better. And, another thing was I thought I was better than I actually was. So like, I thought I was like doing things right. But then when more people were watching my games, like, hey, you know, maybe you could have done this differently. And at first I was like, well, who are you? You know, I just don't, you were in my game. You don't know me. But I think that was the biggest thing is I started taking more criticism, and I started taking it in a more positive manner than would a negative manner, and was adjusting from that from there, because that helped with coping with losses as much.
That's really good, yeah.
Another thing about with losses is that you really got to try to like not let yourself get too down about it, because sometimes with variance, there's nothing that you can do about it. But more importantly, while you're playing the game, after the match is over, try to rethink that match at the moment. Like while you're, say you're at a Grand Prix, you're at the table and you pick up a loss. Like as you're going outside, whether you smoke or if you're just going to meet your friends or you just want to take a walk, like reflect about the match more importantly. Like maybe, you know, see if you did something you could have done better. You know, talk with your teammates, your friends, like, you know, hey, this is what happened. This is the board state. This is how I played it. This was my hand, you know. And then get some insight. But after the loss, just try to not let it, don't let it weigh you down, because everybody loses. Even the best pro players in the world probably have more losses than they do wins in their career. And I put money on that. And it's just, everybody loses. Nobody runs hot forever, you know, and just can't let it, don't let it take it too personal. Like it's okay to have doubt and to have frustrations, but let that spark your competitive edge, you know, like let that be like, you know, I lost, it's frustrating, but I know I can do better. I want to get better and seek guidance to get better, or, you know, just keep practicing, keep playing, and just, you know, be the spark of your competitive career, and don't let other people tear you down. Cause that was a big problem for me. I had people, you know, tearing me down, telling me I was never going to make it. So,
oh man,
I've had a struggle with the negativity career in my aspect. I've had a lot of harsh things said to me, a lot of things that were not so kind, but you know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, be like, just try to persevere and just,
yeah, this is something I believe in, and I'm going to stick with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. I definitely would recommend just people just, you know, my biggest thing is you just take it, you know, just take the loss and just, just handle it. You know, it's hard. It's easier said than done. I will admit it. Because like I said, it took me years to realize and understand that, you know? So it's a humbling experience more so when you take more losses than you do wins as you get older in your Magic career. That's the way I feel about it. So just try to stay positive and just keep your head high.
So what is something that you wish you knew early on? So that for the players who are newer to competitive Magic, so they have the basics down, Magic is still kind of new to them, but they're, you know, getting better, maybe getting a little more competitive. What is something that you wish you knew when you were getting more competitive that you can share to help people in a similar situation?
Take into cost travel and expenses, like gas, hotel, and all that stuff. After coming back from my second place at States, thanks to my buddy, Chris Schaefer, I realized that I wanted to do it even more now, knowing that I had like just the taste of being in that top and just doing so well. I was like, all right, I can do this. You know, I want it. And, I made the big mistake of dropping out of high school my senior year to start traveling more because, you know, there was like a time at high school where it's like, okay, you know, you need to be in school at this time. There's like a big, you know, finals and all that stuff. Instead, I dropped out and play tested Magic for the week before heading to Grand Prix Portland, my first Grand Prix in 2012. So I don't recommend that. I'm more of a guy that's like when someone tells me I can't do something, I have to try to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
Even like stuff like that. So, I mean, it was a poor choice. I would definitely recommend people to like, you know, graduate, stick to your stuff and find a job or, you know, a part-time job. And that way you can afford, you know, to travel and be a competitive Magic player at this point. I was kind of like all in, you know, just drop everything. I'm going all in. I risk it, you know, ante up and let it roll. And that's kind of how I've always been with it. You know, I've never envisioned myself doing anything else with as a career wise.
Yeah.
Like I've thought of things, but like I've never actually like thought of it.
Wow.
You know? So I've always just wanted to be a competitive Magic player with like a competitive card game player in my heart for, you know, ever since I was as a kid. And that's all I've wanted just because I love talking about the game with people. I love encouraging people to be competitive or I also love them being, I love to encourage the fact that they're casual. You know, I appreciate the fact that people who don't want to be competitive still enjoy the game enough that they still want to play it. Mm-hmm. And I respect that and I love it. And I want to always encourage people to do what they want to do and just pretty much, you know, like we have such a limited time. Just enjoy your life and enjoy all the things that you do, you know?
Yeah.
And I love Magic and I'm not going to stop doing it. You know, I want it. I'm hungry for it. I'm just going to keep going after it, you know?
That's great. Yeah. This is so cool. Cause everyone's story is, you know, unique. Their journey is their own. And yeah, yours is definitely noteworthy and unique. And so on your journey, you've had ups and downs. I'm sure many of them you've kind of alluded to a couple along the way. So we would love to dive into two stories. The first one being your worst Magic moment, what that looked like, what happened, and what did you learn from that experience?
So my worst Magic moment, it was kind of actually like, so the worst Magic moment was actually right before Grand Prix Portland, to be truthful. Being competitive all these years and taking second all the time, it was, I didn't take in the fact of the consistent top eights, which is, more of a thing to look into more than just taking first. Like, you know, looking at it as like, oh, I didn't take first. Oh, I didn't take first. Oh, I didn't take first.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm consistently making these top eights. So that should say something, but I wasn't thinking about it that way. And after all my losses before in the past during the PTQ seasons, before they became PPTQs, I went through a huge like little thing where actually Grand Prix Portland, if I didn't day two that tournament, I was actually going to quit playing Magic for quite some time. Hmm. But I just decided it wasn't going anywhere for me. I was really down. I was going through some really hard times with my, you know, my family and depression and a bunch of other stuff kind of that way because, you know, I'm poor a lot and I didn't have any money. And, you know, I had an apartment, lost it, now I'm back at my mom's house, you know, mm-hmm. So it's like I'm 23 years old, I'm engaged, you know, I'm trying to, you know, go with my life and being put back in the same place is like very discouraging when you're, you know, you're always told when you're younger to go for your dreams and, you know, you can, you know, if you work hard enough, you'll get it. So going through all this stuff, feeling that kind of feeling and realizing that maybe it's not possible and, you know, felt like I was being lied to my entire life, telling me, you know, you can do it if you can do it, you work hard enough and I worked and worked and worked and I just wasn't getting any results. So I was like this Grand Prix, I was like, all right, man, this is it. Like, if it doesn't happen, I got to be done. I got to go find a job that I probably don't like, and I just got to go work to make it happen. And I was really down and upset about that. But so that was kind of like all the years of just, you know, not getting there just all came in like at a hard emotional truck for this Grand Prix. So yeah, it was just kind of, the decision was made. It was like, you know, this is make it or break it this time. You know, you either make this day two, because I bubbled all six of my Grand Prix. Even my first one, I bubbled almost.
What do you mean?
You know, like, well, actually, no, I had a chance to keep bubbling, but instead I dropped to do side events with Daryl. So I had a chance to, like, there was like two more rounds and I decided to drop instead of finishing off, but I was doing really well.
What do you mean bubble?
To make day two, there was like a winning in, like, yeah. These days, you know, X3 usually makes day two. Final round, I'm X3. I just lose the final round, you know, then I'm X4. That's what happened. So I bubbled like five of my six and I dropped during the first one.
Got it. So you're right on the bubble of getting in or yeah, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Wow. So that, yeah. So just that time, just like all those factors that you said, you know, converging in and really, yeah, putting a lot of deep introspection, a lot of pressure on you and yeah, I can never see how that'd be a tough time in Magic. And how did you go on? I mean, it sounds like for you, you made the decision, okay, well, I have all these things going on, and so I'm going to go to this GP, and here, I'll continue if I do well, and if I don't, I'm out. And that's kind of how you dealt with it, or what else did you take away or learn from that?
Yeah, I mean, from this first start, like, I was, again, that was just kind of my main idea. Just, you know, make it or break it this time. If you don't, that's it. You got to take a step back. Mm-hmm. It was just really hard to, you know, cause I've put my entire life into this game. Yeah. Really. I mean, I met my fiance because I dropped out of school and met her at Magic. So I've met some of my best friends through Magic. I've met so many people like throughout the world just by playing the game. So like it was really hard to have like this, you know, this thing you've devoted your life to and it not pay off for yourself. So yeah. It was, yeah, again, it was just like, you know, I always try to be very positive about stuff, but the negativity was just a little too much for me at the time. So yeah. I just kind of like let it, you know, sink in. But yeah, I mean, when I went to that Grand Prix, I went with, we had a big crew come from Spokane/ Idaho area. Mm. I think it was like about like 30 of us.
Almost, oh my
like
gosh.
20. That's 20, awesome. You know, 20 is probably more likely, but yeah. to my knowledge, that's the numbers, like 20 to 30. But
yeah.
I had a big playtest team that time. And what got me through the GP really, even when I was in that kind of state of mind was, I met this guy, good guy. His name is Jody Keith. He did really well at GP Vegas for Legacy. And I was just out there. I saw him at a couple events before, and I was just talking to him. And super cool, super nice guy. And we were just talking, and he was kind of always, you know, He's like, "What? I'm a one round of guy, a one round at a time, one game at a time type of guy." And that was actually kind of like it was such a small statement, but it was very eye opening because when I go to these big events, I was always stressing about day two. I was like, oh man, if I make this top eight, I'm going places. You know, if I win, I'm going places. I was always thinking about the end of the race when there's still an entire race in the middle you have to get to before you even get to the end.
Yeah.
So you can ask every single person that was at that, all my teammates that were at that GP, my quote chant of the day was one round at a time, one game at a time. I said it every single round, multiple times. Even when I was walking to tables, I'm just thinking in my head, one round at a time, one game at a time, one round at a time, one game at a time. And I just try to only focus on that match and those games. Yeah. And that's what helped me get through those kind of things. You know, I didn't think about the next round. I didn't think about my prior round. You know, whatever round it was, I went outside and was smoking, talked to my friends, talked about the round, and then that was it. I moved on. I'm in the next round. Let's just do it, you know. Next round. Okay, cool. Just do it. You know, just bop, 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 bop. Just trying to roll through it that way. And that was a huge help for me, honestly. Like that mental mindset is what really helps, because any player can get, you know, tilted and stuff like that, or, you know, have that doubt, and that will affect your game. So having that in my mind was what really helped me get through that day.
Love it. And the flip side, obviously, from our lows are our highs, And I'm pretty sure I know where this is going, but what has been your proudest Magic moment to date?
I'm very proud of how I did at GP Portland, yeah, to be honest.
For sure.
I'm very proud to be Portland, to be honest. But honestly, like, a really good moment for me was at the States where I took second. There was a younger kid there at the tournament, and later on, off to the side, his dad pulled me off the side with him, and his son just wanted to tell me, you know, congratulate me on making my top eight. And he told me that he hopes to be as good as me one day. Hmm. And you know, he was just really, you know, he thought it was really cool about how I was just not too much older than he was, but I already performed at such a good level. And you know, it was a really good feeling, you know, just because, like, it wasn't like a big event, you know, it was just States. To some people, that, you know, some people, that is a big event. And that being my first big top eight ever, and having, you know, this like younger kid just come up and tell me, you know, he thought I was awesome. He wanted to be like me, you know, on my skill level, he wanted to be better. And it was just kind of like it was a really good feeling to feel like, you know, just that, like, this young kid could just see how much effort I put into it and how cool, you know, it is to kind of hear those kind of words. And the only thing I could really tell him was like, just be better than me. That's all I could tell him. I was like, you know, just be better than me. I thanked him and I was like, just be better, you know? So that was a really cool, really good moment for me.
Those are two really good moments.
And then of course GP Portland, like, that was like nuts.
I bet because not only did you make day two after, you know, making the decision, hey, if I don't make day two, I'm out for a bit. Not only did you make day two, we made all the way to top eight. So what was that feeling like when you locked top eight? What did that feel like?
So that's actually a really funny story again as well. I didn't even know until my friends told me. I kind of abandoned like all other emotions while I've been playing, just kind of like, you know, like I'll have like laughs and giggles with my opponent, but like I wasn't even thinking about it.
Hmm.
And as I won my win, and one of my friends was like, as I'm going outside, I was just like, so yeah, I won. I guess I'll see what happens. He's just like, no, dude, that was it. That was, you're in. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you're in top eight. That was your winning in. I was like, no way. What? He's like, yeah, you just played like $1,000 game of Magic and you just won your winning. You're in the top eight. I was like, what? No, I didn't believe anybody. I was like, you're all messing with me. I just didn't believe it at first. And then all of a sudden, you know, top eight announcement. I'm like, oh my God.
Wow. So was it last round that you made your winning in?
So throughout the day, I picked up one loss in round five and then lost in round seven. One's round eight and nine during day one.
Hmm.
And then day two, I went 6-0. So, I didn't drop a round.
Hmm.
And then, my win in was the final round. So yeah.
Wow. You made it into top eight. Lock that. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome because, you know, it means so much, right? Like, I'm sure it felt very validating, for all this, all these years of hard work and finally be able to, you know, like, kind of show people, right? Hey, look, like, I'm not completely wasting my time. Like, you know, I do have skill and it's paying off and I am going places, right? You headed off to the Pro Tour now, so that's exciting. And, bringing in some money for you and your fiance and future, life together, that's great. So, I can only imagine how much that means to you.
Yeah, honestly, it was so surreal that, it didn't even hit me. I didn't feel it. Mm. I was just like, oh, okay, well, I'm still playing Magic, so I have some more Ganache games, so I don't even think about it, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And as long as that's why I told my friends, like, oh, that's really cool. They're like, what? This is insane. I'm like, I mean, yeah, but I got more Magic to play, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, well, like, yeah, but I'm like, I'm not going to celebrate yet. I'm like, I still got Magic to play. I'm like, I got time to celebrate later, but, you know, I got to keep my head in the game, got to stay, you know, not get big headed, not get a big ego, and just, you know, play tight and just one round at a time, one game at a time. That's all I told him. One round at a time, one game at a time. Just kept going and kept going. It was so surreal that I didn't feel it until we got back into Spokane on Monday. And it was like 3 a.m. I'm just in my room listening to music. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, dude, you made it. You're going to the Pro Tour finally. And you just top eight at a Grand Prix. And it was just kind of like, it was worth it. You know, it's finally paying off. You know, I finally, like, it was just so good feeling to feel like I finally am just making something of it. I'm just happy that I even performed that as well as I did.
Yeah.
And I'm, like I said, happy that I made my first day two, let alone a top eight.
So this was your first day two?
This is my first day too at a Grand Prix ever. This was Grand Prix number 6 or 7, I think. Yeah, I think it's number 7. It was Grand Prix 7. My 7th Grand Prix.
Wow, that's incredible. And tell us about some highlights from the top 8 and what happened and your final standing.
So, first quarterfinals, before we even started, I'm standing offside talking to my crew. And then all of a sudden, this guy who I've never met before just comes up and he goes, "Hey, you're Brandon?" I'm like, "Yes." He's like, "Hey, I'm Alex." And he's just like, "I've play tested with your buddy Nate before. And, you know, we kind of do stuff like that." And it's kind of like, "Oh, cool." You know, I didn't know what he was saying, but turns out he was my opponent.
Oh,
so that was really like, it's really cool. Like we're about to play for, you know, like a lot of money. And, you know, most people are really serious at that point. And Alex Wilson just came up and was just like, "Hey man, what's up? I'm Alex. We're going to play. It's nice to meet you." And I'm hoping to look forward to do some more playtesting with you. I'm like,
wow.
It was just really cool just because he was such a super nice, like a genuine nice guy about it. Like when you get to that kind of level of competitive play and you get to that high of a rank, it's like it's business. You know, we're playing for a lot of money. We're playing your invite for the tour. Everyone's got to play, you know, tight, and we got to be, you know, serious about it. You know, it's not games. There's a lot. It's a lot of money on the line. It's a, you know, pro points on hand, the pro tour, the one of the biggest competitions that you can ask for in this game next to Worlds. And here it is. This is guy like I've never met before. And we're just, you know, palling around, having fun. And it was just a really cool experience. It's kind of like not have like a super serious opponent off the first round of my first top 8. And him and I had fun like during our top 8 games, even though I will admit, though, he was playing Tamir and I was on Ramanet Red. I was on the draw, so generally I just kind of lose. So it was kind of like a good feeling that I won 2-0 and like very, very quickly. As actually during coverage, if you're watching the Michael Burnett and Larson playing their game, you see, I have to say, my friends like are like shaking their hands. They see me picking up my stuff. People are like, "Oh, they must be going to game 2. No, we finished our match before they were done with their first game.
Wow.
That's, yeah.
Went pretty quick.
It was just really good. Yeah, it went really, really quick. We were both playing at a very good pace. I was playing very fast, and that was kind of like the thing of the day. I broke the stream, apparently. Like I was playing so fast that the stream wasn't keeping up with my hands.
little Bruce Lee over there. Look out.
Exactly.
Well, that's fun.
But yeah, so yeah, after Alex, that was really cool. And now he's also one of my teammates for the Pro Tour. So we've been testing and talking, and I grow more and more to love the guy day to day. Ever I talk to him, he's such a cool guy. Like, I'm so happy I got to meet him and just have that experience with him. Like, I'm very proud to say I know him as a friend. Cool. I really do. Like, he's such a cool guy. Cool. The semifinals, Michael Burnett. Again, I've never heard this guy before and this man before. And, he was telling me, I've been playing competitive magic for about 20 years. You know, traveling and stuff like that. And then I was like, "Oh man, that's really cool," you know? And, you know, we played it out, and he was a very, very good player. The way he composed himself, his poker face, how he held his cards, you know, like how he held them for the right times. You know, he played to his outs. He played very tight. And, I can easily say that, with confidence, that between me and him, I would definitely wholeheartedly say that we were the best Bramanet Red players in the room. Versus the rest of the pro players in the room, I still think that him and I were the best in the room that day, because he showed it. He showed his veterancy. He showed his experience. And I end up looking him up later, and it turns out the guy does play a lot of competitive magic, and he is very good. And I was just like, wow, he's a very good pro player. And I was kind of sweet to, you know, like, wow, I played him and I beat him. That's awesome.
Wow.
You know, like, because he was much more veteranized and more experienced than I am. So it was kind of like a cool feeling coming back home and like, wow, that was him. Oh, wow. Like, you know,
cool.
Like, I was just, you know, like, you, we don't see a name on the pro tour or at Worlds or Starseed enough. Like, you know, they're just people.
Right.
And that's like, that's a big thing that I also want people make people sure that it doesn't matter who your opponent is. Just play your game. Don't worry about who your opponent is. If it's a pro or not, just play your game. The cards don't change, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
So that was a very, very, very cool experience, and I really enjoyed playing with him. He was a very good guy, and I hope to play him in future tournaments. So
that's cool.
He's very good competition.
Very cool.
And then of course there's, you know, Shahar Shanhar, the final boss. Wow. I went back and watched coverage, and I watched that those games, and I just was in shock and awe of how good of draws Shahar had. Even during the stream, Paul Rietzel's exact words like, how, the best draws for Tamir is exactly five lands, no more, just gas. And it's exactly what Shahar did. He had exactly five lands and just drew all the cards at the right curve and perfect time. A good friend of mine, Justin Auberton, he was congratulating me, and he's like, it's okay, man. He's like, when Shahar invokes little kid luck, no mere mortal can stand against him. And there's not a truer statement than that. I was laughing so hard when he said it. Like
little kid luck. That's funny.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean, again, I'm not going to lie. I was like, dang, like I was up. I was a little down that I lost. Cause I was really hoping to like close off the weekend that way. But my friend Chris Shaver, who helped me get second at States, he just pulled me offside. He's like, hey, man, he's like, seriously, don't even trip about the loss. He's like, literally nobody does this. Nobody just goes. He's like, you literally just came out of the woodwork and you just came out of nowhere and you did good. You played hard. You did well. And then I was like, yeah, you know, it's just hoping to beat the final boss. But then the way I looked at it is between the end of day one and through day two, I was on a 10 win streak. So the way I looked at it was it took the only person to be a 2-time back-to-back world champion to stop my onslaught that day. So I guess that's the way I looked at it more.
Yeah. And that's really good. You know, really draw on, you know, what you've learned from the past experiences, always beating yourself up for coming in second and not recognizing how good that is, you know, what that means, and realize, hey, yeah, you didn't take down the Grand Prix, but you got second. Like, that's really cool. And it's still top eight, still Pro Tour invite. Getting you pro points. How many pro points did you get from that?
That's six.
Six. Yeah. See, so putting, you know, so setting you up. Points. Like, it's yeah, good. So, it's good.
Yeah. Six pro points. I'm aware that I think it's 3 points for participating in the pro tour.
Yep. Just for showing up. Points. Just for showing up.
And then they don't hand out any more pro points until day two, to my current knowledge.
Yeah. So, it's like, I think 9 and 6 is the minimum to get another pro point. So if you get 9 and 6, you get like 4, and then it kind of scales up from there. But just for showing up, you'll get 3. So,
yeah. So they're introducing a bronze level player within, you know, since we're kind of hitting into the, we're in the 2018 kind of Magic schedule this year in that way so far.
Yep.
They're introducing bronze level.
Yep.
And by participating, if I get one pro point at the pro tour, then I qualify for bronze, mm-hmm. which means then I qualify for all the RPTQs and I get 2 buys all GPs for the next year. So honestly, that's my goal. Cause that's awesome. Like the first step of being able to keep up on the pro tour. Like I'm not going to go in like, you know, I'm gunning for top 8.
But I'm getting gold this time. Yeah. But like,
yeah.
But that's good that you have your say, hey, if I can make bronze this season and that this one step closer, that means that I can go to all the RPTQs without grinding. I can get 2 buys of the GPs and keep it up. And so that's a really, and obviously you'll accept better performances and more points for sure. But you're just like, hey, if I can get bronze, then that's where we start. You know, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, just set little goals, but you know, don't try to stress them too much. Mm-hmm. Remember, you know, it's just, you know, play your game one round at a time, one game at a time, and just try to be positive about the experience regardless, you know, we all take losses and we all have our hard days, you know, just gotta try to persevere and just go through it, man. It's rough. It's hard. And I encourage that kind of attitude for anybody, no matter what their goal is in life, whether they want to be, you know, a rock star, a musician, scientist, whatever they want to do for a living, you know, just you're going to hit the falls. You're going to take some licks. Just got to stand up and you got to keep fighting because it's, you know, the only person that can stop you from doing it is you, you know, mm-hmm. like you just got to be positive and just don't let, you know, hecklers and critics, you know, tell you can't do something. And if they do, let that be the spark to prove them wrong. Let that be your spark, you know, just everyone's got to find something that makes them want to, you know, step up.
And yeah, for sure.
I feel like it's got to come from within, you know, the eternal fire.
So, Brandon, in your experience, what is the biggest mistake that you see players make?
Biggest mistake. Honestly, I think it is playing decks that they don't enjoy is like a big one for me. They'll play a deck because it's the best deck in the format, for example. And even if it's the best deck, if you hate that deck, you're not going to perform 100%. You know, if you don't like what you're doing, if you don't like what you're playing, you're not going to be able to play to your best of level, to the best of your level. Cause when you like a deck, then you focus on learning the ins and outs of the deck, you know, how to mulligan, what's the mulligan, you know, how do you mulligan properly during game one, you know, if you're going blind, you know, if you know your matchups now, how to sideboard, you know, what hands you keep, what hands you can't keep, you know, overall, like, how do I build my deck for the Grand Prix versus how I build it for a local PPTQ, you know, because you build decks differently for those kind of events. So I really do encourage people, you know, just find a deck that you enjoy, learn it, love it, and just keep playing it, because experience and enjoying the deck is going to take you more than just playing whatever the best deck is, especially if you really don't like it. And then, of course, you know, if you get salty, just, you know, upset, it's okay to get upset when you're trying to be competitive and you lose. It's okay to have that. Just, you know, take it outside, walk it off, you know, rant to your friends, get the salt out, and come back in with a positive mind. And don't, that's another one, don't dread on losses, because they happen. Don't dread on them. And it's hard, it's easier said than done, but you really just got to try not to dread on them, because it's in the past now. You can't do anything to change it. You, all you can do is learn and learn what you could have done differently and then go on from there. And that's the best way I can really describe it, is, you know, be positive and play decks that you really do enjoy and love, because that will get you further in this game than playing the best deck, whatever wins the Pro Tour, you know, whatever wins a Star City or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Love it. And what have you learned from Magic, Brandon, that you've been able to apply to other areas of your life?
Everything. Magic has helped me with reading skills, research, my, you know, research techniques, mathematics, obviously, the amazing people I've met. Like, Magic has taught me, like, in the long run of all things, like, of everything, like, Magic doesn't have, you know, a gender, a race, or religion, or a sex, or, you know, it doesn't have that. The game is there for everybody. So it's kind of like, for me, as an outcast in high school, when I was kind of like, you know, like this goth kid, and I was kind of like this outcast in school, I always had Magic, and I always had friends that came from different, like, backgrounds. Like, I was this goth kid, and then there's this guy who is like a gym guy that always works out and is like super into football and sports. And you'll never see me hang out with that guy normally ever, but we play Magic together, you know? So, like, it brings people from different, like, cliques, you know, or how they were raised, you know, different things, you know, whether it be, like, again, doesn't matter what religion you believe in or whatever you want, like, none of that matters, because you're here playing the game and it's for everybody. So that's what I really loved about Magic, is that it's for everybody. It, you know, no one should feel bad about wanting to come play the game. No one should have to worry about, you know, people harassing them or anything like that, because it doesn't matter. Yeah. We're here to play the game, and it's for everybody. And that's what I love about it. You know, like I said, I met my future wife here. I've met all my best friends here. I've met amazing people around the world. I've loved every second of it. And if I could go back in time and choose a different path, I absolutely would not, because even though I've lost so many times and I've spent 9 years trying to get to this level, and I've been poor, I've been broke, I've been beaten, I've been torn down, you know, like it's been a rough road, and it sucks a lot of times. And I do recommend people to please, you know, like, get, you know, keep, you know, do a part-time job and all that stuff until you make it, and, you know, it can make, you know, start, you know, riding the gravy train. But, yeah, I would not, I don't regret it a single bit now. You know, I love this game. I love the people I met in it, and I'm really excited for the future opportunities coming ahead. And, I just hope that all those, pro players are ready for me at the, Pro Tour, because, I'm hungry, and they better be ready, because we're coming with a good team.
Yeah. So I love how you pointed out that Magic is, you know, like, the ultimate breaker of barriers. You know, it's no respecter of persons, and you know, everyone can find a place in it. And that's part of the reason why it's so sad when people try and, you know, bring their barriers into the game. And, you know, it's frankly unacceptable. And as a community, we need to do a good job at keeping it open and, you know, breaking down the barriers that people try and put up inside, because it really is supposed to be a welcoming place. Like you said, you know, the goth can play with the jock, and that's awesome, you know, and because of that context, you know, you guys have a relationship that can form into, you know, friendship or whatever. And I think that's really cool that has been your experience. So absolutely love that. And as far as what was coming up next, you did mention, hey, watch out, pros, I'm coming to the Pro Tour. So obviously you're queued for Bilbao. Is that right?
Yes.
Awesome. I'm so queued for Bilbao, yeah. Have you ever traveled outside the US and seen the world, or is this going to be one of the first times?
This is going to be the one, like, where I'm actually traveling out of the U.S. Okay. Yeah, I've never traveled outside of the U.S. I've traveled within it a lot, but never out. So it was kind of a cool experience. Like, honestly, like, that was like the thought process. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, I better day two this or I'm quitting the game. And now I'm coming back like, okay, I need to fill out a passport. Yeah. I need to get my DCI thing all figured out so I can get like a check in the mail. And now I'm prepping with, I actually got two. It's kind of like a weird thing too, is like first time in like Spokane's history that we have, you know, we consider Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, some of our local players in a way, just because we know them. But like me, Nate, my friend Nate Kahovic, and my other buddy Sam Harwood, we're in like in the local area, and it's the first time in Spokane ever that we've had three people queued up for the same pro tour.
Oh, great!
And we're all going together.
That's wonderful.
So like, it's a really cool experience, like feeling that, and it's just I'm really excited for it. Been playtesting a lot, getting those games in, waiting for rivals to start spoiling and, you know, get ready for that limited. And
yeah. Bilbao is modern. We know that. So, how's your modern game?
I've played a lot of modern in the past. My thing is I never consistently play modern because I did for a little while, but again, I wanted to play wherever the PPQ format was because I wanted to hit the pro tour.
Okay.
So whatever the format was, that's what I'm playing. So a lot of times it's just standard. So I'm always like playing standard, you know, or when a Grand Prix comes up, then I'll play whatever it is, like modern or legacy or, you know, limited, whatever it is, you know, if it's nearby, I'll try to go to it and I'll play where that format is. So I have some more experience, but not as much as, some of my other friends, my other teammates that are going. And, I'm confident in it. I think I have the right decks on my radar right now, and I'm really excited to keep play testing. And, modern's like, so is like a really, you can't metagame against modern, right? Cause yeah, there's tough. So many decks.
Yeah.
It's so hard. So again, it comes down to play a deck that you know, that you love and you like, and know what matchups are hard. Know which matchups are like, honestly, this is kind of like the sad part about modern is that if you have an unwinnable matchup, you just pray that you dodge it. So yeah. You're like, oh, I hope nobody plays this at the PT, and I hope I don't play against it, or else it just utterly crushes me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of those things that it's just, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You take your matchups where you can, you know, and take your wins where you can. Just, yeah, you gotta do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've been playing a lot. I picked up some vicious losses though. My past couple tournaments in modern, I've gone 0-3, 0-3. So, the first one was a deck choice. Again, I picked the deck and I thought I enjoyed the deck a lot more than I actually did. And now I'm on a deck I really do enjoy. And, my losses were, I missed some key finite, sequencing that cost me a couple of my games. Okay. And, thankfully my teammate Sam Harwood was over my shoulder making sure that, you know, after the matches, he pulled me off side and we were talking like, hey man, here's this idea. He's like, what do you think about this line of play next time? And, you know, we discussed it more. So it's been a huge help having him over my shoulder doing that because, you know, we're, you know, teammates and I could use the help and
that's awesome.
He was very helpful. So
yeah.
I'm very happy to be with my team that I have right now. So
yeah, and I love talking about that. You know, people headed off to their first pro tour, how they're preparing. It sounds like that's great. You have some locals that you're able to play test with and travel with, and that's gonna be really cool. What other events do you have coming up this season that we're gonna see you at?
So after the PT, I'm definitely gonna be going to SeaTac for the doubleheader for Legacy and Standard, and then I do plan on going to Vegas again for the next doubleheader. Any Portland Grand Prix, I'll be going to, pretty much any Seattle Portland Grand Prix, you'll see me there. Cool. If I have the fundage, I'll be going because, like I said, I want to be at the pro tour and I want to continue to keep going to the pro tour and just keep doing that way. So I'll take any path that can get me there. PPTQ, RPTQ, GP, whatever it is, you know, I'm gonna start doing online. Like I'm gonna start doing Moto here because I've never had money to invest in Moto. So, you know, with this, you know, my cash money coming in, I'm going to be using that now to invest into the Rivals of Ixalan limited testing. So, because my plan for the PT testing is to try to get my deck pretty much locked in by the time Rivals of Ixalan limited drops, so I can focus on limited, and then obviously when the set comes out, evaluate and see how much it's going to affect the modern meta.
See if
there's
any modern shakeups. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then, but more importantly, just from that point on, just gun as much limited as I possibly can until I want to like vomit because I played so much Rivals limited, and that's what I want to do. So I'm going to do that
love it.
in the healthiest way possible. So
yeah, well, good stuff, man. Well, definitely, I feel more that that we could talk about. So here's to wishing to your continued success so we can bring you back on as a repeat guest. So that'd be a lot of fun to have you do that.
I would love to. It'd be awesome.
Quick reminder to the prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Brandon, you can find him on Twitter at NightFury301. I guess because all the other 300 numbers were taken by the time you got around to that one, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It was just like, well, what's going on with that? Actually, 301 is it's actually a date. The first on the third month of the first. It's the first time I saw one of my favorite bands live.
So oh, it was pretty cool. The first day of the third month. Wait, what? So you said the first day of the third month, March 1st?
Yeah.
Clever. Okay. I thought it was like your area code or something like that. So anyways, prodigies out there.
Yeah, 509.
There you go. Night Fury 301. Also, it's where you can find them on Twitter. So.
Yeah, I can. I also have a Facebook player profile now. It's called Night Fury 301.
Hey, you can find me on there Facebook you go. Too. Making it
Facebook,
easy.
Yeah, exactly. Facebook slash or... Yes, Facebook at Night Fury 301. I'm on there too now, and I try to keep updates and I respond to messages and I just want to, you know, I would like to try and inspire people to pick up their competitive edge and be Sweet. Happy and just Sweet. You know do your thing.
So on that note, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said that you emphasize or something new you want to leave with us here at the end.
Again, I guess this is more emphasizing on the fact that just. Try not to take the losses too hard. Play the decks you enjoy. Love playing the game. Stay positive and just don't let your eternal competitive flame die out. Let it burn. Be the spark for your competitive edge and just keep going for it no matter what anybody says. Let that doubt, let those negative thoughts, let that fuel your fire more than douse it. Just let it be positive, fight for it, and you know, I believe anybody's dreams could come true if you work hard for it enough, you know, whatever it may be. So just, you know, be you, do, you know, be happy and enjoy the ride and make sure everybody remembers, you know, who you are on the way out.
Well, Brandon, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse so far. And thank you so much for your time, for sharing your stories and experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be man of screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity, and it was great talking with you, and I look forward to doing something like this again.
Brandon, thank you again so much for being a guest on the show. Good luck in making Magic your full-time thing. You are off to a great start. Thank you for sticking with it and then for sharing your story with us. It was absolutely awesome. Prodigies, the show notes can be found at mtgprotudor.com/Brandon Go. And a huge thank you to Paragon City Games for supporting the show and the patrons as well. Again, there is a shift coming to the Patreon setup. If it hasn't happened already, it will happen soon. You can go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon to learn more about that. Thank you so much for joining me today. We have Christmas quickly approaching, and I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I do plan on releasing episodes as normal this Friday and then the next week and then next Tuesday and Friday as well to finish off the year. So thank you so much again for your support. Love doing these shows for you. Can't wait to connect with you either in person at an event or online in the Facebook group, for example. So cheers to you. Have a great day. And I look forward to connecting with you again real soon. Until then, I'm Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.